Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father.
Welcome to Solutions Radio, right here on Zambia Blog Talk Radio. Oh, how exciting it is to be able to share with you. It's been a very wonderful journey. The last two Tuesdays have been very exciting and very enriching with Miss Sylvia. And I know even tonight it's going to be another wonderful evening. We thank God for you, our Solutions Radio family, for your incredible support and participation and involvement. And since we began a year and a half ago, it's been just a great time of dialogue and discussion. The Word of God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And so through this solution, we are equipping and enriching and just mentoring and helping people in the area of relationships and marriage, and the feedback has been tremendous. We do have a page on Facebook. Do like our page, Solutions, and also Fresh Aroma International Ministry. And tonight our topic is tips for the single, because usually during this time of Valentine, singles tend to get very dismayed and discouraged, but we have a wonderful lady who has some outstanding tips for the singles. But before I introduce her, I just want to invite all of you this coming April to our 10th annual Fresh Aroma Prophetic Conference. Fresh Aroma is the prophetic ministry that God birthed through me 10 years ago. We have been in the kingdom for much longer under all nations, but Fresh Aroma is the prophetic ministry, and we're celebrating 10 years of just touching lives and transforming people, and it's just been an incredible, wonderful journey. So we are inviting you April the 17th to the 20th, 2014, to Dallas, Texas, where all the good-looking people live. Dallas is a beautiful place, friendly, hospitable people. But our conferences have been getting better and bigger, and just The quality of the anointing, the quality of the word has been phenomenal over the years, and I know that this one is just going to be the very best we've ever had. We are blessed to have Prophetess Angel, Beverly Angel, from the great nation of Zimbabwe. She is such a profound and prolific and very authentic prophet of God. And Dr. Nervous Mumba from the great nation of Zambia. He's one of our spiritual fathers, such an outstanding man of God, and has also such great political grace. He's been our vice president. He's been ambassador to Canada, but a phenomenal man of God. You don't want to miss him. Of course, we have the powerhouse prophetess Sarah Morgan. I love what Pastor Nathan says, that she'll make you do a workout. I mean, you'll be standing just enjoying the word, but she's an incredible friend of ours. And we have Bishop Eli Jacobs from right here in Dallas, just a tremendous man of God. Of course, we have the dynamic duo, Apostle Darius and his beautiful wife, Prophetess Martha. You don't want to miss her. And so we have a great panel of distinguished speakers, and they have a great word for you, and a phenomenal conference praise team, which encompasses all the worship leaders in the city. And oh, they've been rehearsing. What a beautiful harmony and melody and sound. You know, God loves unity, and so the sound that they bring forth is outstanding. And of course, we have Lady Brenda Ellis from the Potter's House, one of our psalmists, and Lady Benita Atterbury from the Daystar Singer. So all these people are coming together, and of course, our prayer line family and many guests from all over the USA. We're getting a lot of requests. People want to come from Europe, different parts of Africa. So we are excited. We are grateful for all God has done these 10 years. And Solutions family, you are part of the journey, so don't miss it. It is a free conference, but the Saturday prophetic breakfast is not. Please do register. It does get full, and it will get full. Please do not wait till the last minute. Register in advance. This is a new year. Let's do things differently. It's only $35, but it will go up March the 1st. It's only $35, but it will go up March the 1st. You can go onto our website, www.fresharomaministry.org. www.fresharomaministry.org to register for the breakfast. So at this time, oh, I get so excited with the wonderful guests that God brings our way. And Miss Charlene means so much to Apostle and I. Many of you know we began our journey in America, in beautiful Boston. That is our hometown. And Charlene and her wonderful family were among the pioneers of All Nations Christian Center in Boston. In fact, Charlene and I actually met at the bus stop in a beautiful city called Watertown. And we just became such good friends, connected, and their family was such an instrumental part of our church. And imagine, we are still connected after all these years. And so this is just a precious woman, and just their family means so much to us. And you know, Solutions family, everybody who comes on Solutions is solid, is just, you know, biblically sound and just real. And as we've just watched Miss Charlene, I call her the future president of the Pearl of Africa. She is just so passionate to see change in Africa like I am. Such a voice to the voiceless, such an advocate for human rights. She is breathtakingly beautiful. But behind that beautiful face is a genius. She's brilliant, and I just love the intellectual connect that we have. And so she's also a mother of a beautiful daughter called Elizabeth. And this evening, she has come with a wealth of knowledge and love and compassion for our wonderful singles. just to minister to them, to encourage them, to reach out to them. So singles, I hope you are on the line because Miss Lovely Charlene is here. Miss Charlene, are you on Solutions this evening?
Oh, yes, I am. What a wonderful introduction. My gosh, I'm not going to say anything after that. Oh, the feeling is mutual. Thank you so much. It's I always tell people it takes a village to raise a child, and I'm so grateful that you and Pastor Darius were an articular part of our village. And the intellectual connect, oh, my gosh, I don't even feel smart enough sometimes. Look who's talking. So thank you for having me. I am so excited. Do you want to pray or do you want me to pray?
Please go ahead.
Okay.
After you pray,
right.
Charlene can introduce, just tell us a little bit about yourself, because people always like to know who you are, where you're from, and go right into it.
All right, Father, we thank you so much for this time together with the singles. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, Father God, and it guides us in everything that we do and say. Let our time today on Solutions be empowering, inspiring, and life-changing. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, nothing big, and Pastor Mwaka has gone over the introductions. Oh, my gosh. I am originally from Uganda. I came to Boston 20 years ago, and I met Pastor Mwaka at a bus stop, like she said, and we just became instant friends. And for me, that doesn't happen very often. I was talking to my daughter the other day, and we were talking about how we don't have many friends, but the few friends that we have in our lives are so precious and so empowering. And just to bring it back to singles, we don't have to orchestrate anything. When God orchestrates stuff, you want his orchestration. You want the people he wants in your life to be in your life. So today, we're just going to delve into being single, the joys of being single. Pastor, you already said that around this time singles get, a little bit, dismayed. And I just want to say that, like you've already mentioned, I'm a mother. And what else? I don't want to talk about myself. All right, I'll just, little snapshot. I just graduated from Emerson College. I have a Bachelor of Science in Journalism. As you can tell, I love to talk. But anyway, I love reaching out to people. I love sharing what I've learned as a mother, as a parent, as a single woman, because we are where we are because of the shoulders in which we stand, but also because of the lessons we've learned. In anything in life, if something happens, good or bad, if you don't have a lesson from it, then really it was to no avail. So that's just me. I love life, and I'm here to give you tips on being single. Was that a good introduction?
That is a wonderful introduction. And I love what you said, Charlene, about loving life. You don't
yes.
hear many people saying that. And from the time I've known you, I think it's even almost maybe 18 years now, you've just
yes.
always been very bubbly, vibrant, excited, many people wait for things to happen, but I know you are just as a mover and a shaker, like even when the Trayvon Martin thing happened, man, you are so outspoken. I'm like, okay, Miss Senator, go right ahead, keep talking. But I love that you engage. So, and I don't see that so much in singles. I see most of the time they're like in this waiting phase, like, when I get married is when I'll begin to live. So help us just to challenge the singles that even as they are waiting, they can live, they can be happy. They can
yes.
move and shape things and contribute to society.
Amen and amen. I think that we have to go back to the fundamentals of who we are in Christ. I guess tip number one would be know who you are in Christ and the price that was paid for you, not just as a single person, but as a child of God. And really, who are you? You are a daughter or a son of the Most High God. a prince or a princess in his courts. You've been blood-bought, redeemed, healed, sanctified. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I always remind singles, don't grieve him. You're a royal priesthood, a friend of God like Israel sings. And really, like the song I always sang to my daughter and still sing to her, she knows every word. She rolls her eyes and she goes, oh, mommy. It's called You Are a Masterpiece, because that's what you are. There's nobody else like you. So when you know who you are, it's hard to not live life and not be happy because you know who you are. And then you have to know who God is. Spend time in the Word. Get to know his character. Get to know his heart towards you. Right now we're seeing a lot of hearts in CVS, on window panes, everywhere. Hearts, 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 hearts. And it's wonderful that it's Valentine's Day. We celebrate people who are married and are dating, are experiencing love and butterflies. But you, when you know who God is and his heart towards you, then whether you're single or not, you're going to be happy. You're going to live life. And then I think segueing into living life, be busy. Go to the gym. Find join a knitting class and go to the museum. Just live life. I by the way, as a single mother, you know the budget is always tight. So I have mastered the art of getting into museums and places for free. When you go to your local library, I don't know if you have Minuteman, if the Minuteman network is all over the states, but if you go to the library, you get tickets for you, your family, and you go to all these wonderful places, meet people, just be busy. And I always tell singles, be careful, even in church, be careful on what singles clubs you join. If your single club has the big one, single, at its doorstep and forefront and the center of all conversations, you'll begin to see yourself only as a single. And that's just a small part of who you are. Yes, you might not be in a relationship, but there's so much more to you. When I wake up, I don't wake up single, you know. I wake up as a daughter of the Most High God. I wake up as Elizabeth's mother, Maria's daughter, a sister, a friend. And when God sees me and when God sees you, he sees you. He sees us through the blood. He sees us through the cross and the resurrection. The Bible says he sees us raised up, sitting next to him in heaven. So you have no business just only seeing yourself as single. And be happy. Pastor Walker says I'm bubbly. And I really, if you knew what I've been through in my life, you'd say, oh, my gosh. And she still smiles. Happiness is a choice. So you have to choose to be happy, you know? And I think that's key.
So how do you choose to be happy? Because most people kind of, the happiness depends if I have money on the account, if I have a guy pursuing me. And, you know, I mean, most people, it's so hard for them to kind of motivate themselves and be optimistic. So how have you chosen to be happy despite challenges and trials and heartaches?
All right. For example, right now, I don't have a job and I'm searching, actively looking. I could be, oh, well, me, why don't I have a job? I even went ahead and got a degree, Lord. Don't you see I'm trying? So my choice, I guess, stems in knowing what his promises are. His promise to be Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and he has never failed me once. His promise to be Jehovah Nissi, my banner, my friend, my confidant. So I guess that choice, I think it would be hard if somebody's not a Christian, because I don't even know how somebody who doesn't know God copes to the world. But for me, from a Christian background and perspective, I'm choosing to be happy. I find my happiness in the Word. The Bible says, wow, the joy of the Lord is my strength. There are days when I'm feeling blue, and I look at my, and she reads me, she knows how, she reads me like a book. She goes, Mommy, is everything okay? I'm like, yes, Elizabeth, you look and see, I have a child. I don't have time to throw a pity party. I don't have time to sit around and mop. I have to get my resume on Monster, on LinkedIn. And I think if you don't look at your bank account and your relationships or lack thereof to define your happiness. If you already know who you are, then you're going to be happy no matter what. I hope I've answered that, you know, adequately.
Very, very much. You know, I like how you said, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you're God's daughter, Elizabeth's mom, Maria's daughter, a sister, a friend. I mean, that is absolutely awesome. You know, most people look at and say, oh, I'm a single mother, I'm African, I'm a woman, you know, all kind of negativity. So how did you get to the place where you are, where you're just, I mean, you just take life head on, basically? How did you get to that place?
Because the alternative, to be honest with you, the alternative was quite dire. Because we all have choices. I mean, I looked at my life and like, oh my gosh, I just ran to it. It's almost like as though I ran towards happiness and ran towards God, you know. I mean, I am divorced and my marriage failed. As a child, I was molested. Long story, I was once raped. I've been through so many things in my life that if I sat down and dwelt on those things, whoa, you know? So what I do is I don't even allow my, because I think I like to borrow Joyce Meyer's, the mind is the battleground, because all those thoughts start in the mind. Oh, remember when you did this, or remember when this happened, or you're not good enough, or you never amount to much, and even just playing back things in your mind. I love what my pastor said in church last week, this past Sunday. He said that some of us are where we are because somebody has said something to us and we believed them. I thought that was such a powerful statement, because if somebody says, let's say a teacher says you're stupid, or somebody that you love says you won't amount to much, or a circumstance and the devil says, oh, you see, that's all you'll ever be. If you believe it, then you stay stuck right there. And that place is not a place of joy and happiness. Yeah. It could be very depressing. You know, people cut themselves. And I'm not saying that, you know, I've gotten here all by myself. I went through counseling. I'm not ashamed of that. People say, oh my gosh, you know, in our culture, you can't see a shrink. That's for white people. I'm like, no, a shrink. God has given us professionals to help us through things. If we were all self-reliant, we'd never see doctors. I come from a long line of doctors. You know, you go to the hospital. So I saw a therapist for a couple of years, and then she marveled at my strength, and she said, how did you survive this? I said, but the grace of God. And when we look at grace, the Bible defines grace as his ability, not my ability. I can't say, yeah, look at how great I am. No, it's all been the grace of God. If it wasn't for his grace, if he hadn't picked me up and turned my life around and just loved me and just made things happen for me and provided for me, and just, I really don't know where I would be. So everything goes back to the beginning. And what's the beginning? God. If you really don't have God in your life, if you don't have faith that it's going to be okay and it's going to work out, he's working it out for your good, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine. So it's by his grace.
You know, I am so proud of you, Charlene, that you went for counseling and even went for therapy, because you're so right. In our African community, and when I say African, I Uganda, Kenya, Zambia. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why we think therapy and psychiatry is just, it means you're off. You know, just like you go to a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer, you know, these are people who are professionally trained to help us. And
exactly.
So you find so many people in our community are suffering, and they're suffering just, yet the help is there, you know?
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
And I'm sure your therapy helped you tremendously to deal with some of the things you have mentioned, you know, divorce, rape, abuse.
Yeah, and trauma. And people, those traumatic events can if you don't get that professional help, and of course, if you don't delve in the Word and just immerse yourself in God, those traumatic events could take over. You know, I'll get nightmares, and you know, even now, 20 years later, or more than 20 years later, a thought will flash. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe I never saw myself as a victim. I always saw myself as a victor. And then when the enemy tries to tell you, oh, you know, remember when that happened, I just say, I'm so glad I was victorious over that. So I just look and focus on the victory, and then, you know, the rest just fades in the background. You know, it happened, but it doesn't have me, because I have victory over it.
Let me ask, you know, like sometimes when you've gone through a traumatic event, you know, like rape, abuse, does that make you like super protective over Elizabeth? Was she allowed to go for sleepovers as a teenager? Because these are some of the questions single mothers, you know, ask, like, what do I do? You know, I want my daughter to have a life, but at the same time, I'm scared, even though I may know this family well.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was going to segue into that. It does hinder it hinders trust. So when it comes to sleepovers, for me, I am not ashamed to say I don't think I'm all that. I'm kind of all that. But anyway, I don't think I'm all that. You started that. But anyway, I feel like trust is earned. Trust is earned. So when she was little, I always plainly, without any shame, I would tell parents, I'm sorry, in my culture, we don't do sleepovers, which is true. We don't do sleepovers. And then when she was older, you know, from, I believe, 10 onwards, and she could sleep at somebody's house, she knew we went through all the safety measures. She knew, I don't care what house. I always told her, even if you are at the White House, if you need me to pick you up, call me anytime. Mm-hmm. And those few nights that she'd sleep over somebody's house, I never slept, because I thought that phone call might come in. I don't want to be in a deep sleep. So it does hinder how you relate to others and how you trust. But I'm glad that I went through that stuff, but sometimes it makes you wiser, the decisions that you make. Not everybody at church, your child doesn't have to sleep over everybody's house because they're at church. Nowadays, you don't know if there's a gun in the home. First question singles need to ask, who's in your house? I need to know who's in your house. If it's a couple and their children, fine. And also follow after peace. We have the Holy Spirit for a reason. He guides and gives us unction and warns us of things. If your heart is at peace, they can go. If there's something that doesn't sit right with you, don't question it, don't debate it, and don't even get into any back and forth with your child. I'm sorry, honey, I'm not comfortable. You're not going over. But I'll be more than happy to take you over for a play date, or we can go have dinner, or we can go to the park or the museum or the library, but you're not sleeping over. And then let your child know why you're not sleeping over. We have a very open relationship with my daughter. She knows everything about me. And when I told her my past sexual abuse, of course, then she got, oh, this is why my mother never wanted me to sleep over. I get it.
Wow.
You know, it was a nice moment. It brought us closer together, because when they're young, it's always because I said so usually suffices. But when they get older, they need a rational explanation, because they're rational beings. You know, they want to understand, mommy, why? And because I said so, it doesn't fly. So you have to explain why. And then, and depending on your child's maturity, my child's a very mature child, you might not want to disclose everything, but you might want to tell them that you've been praying about it, and you feel like in your spirit you don't feel comfortable, not that there's anything wrong with this family, but you don't feel comfortable. And if at any one time you feel at peace about it, don't worry. I'll drive you over there. And they're happy with that. They just have to know why you're doing the things that you do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, like, how much detail did you give her about her, about your life, and at you know, what is appropriate? And
well, at 10, I let her know that I was molested by a cousin that my mom trusted, and my mom took care of so many people. When she was 10 and I said she couldn't sleep over, I thought that the appropriate thing to tell her at 10 years old was that I was molested. And she was flabbergasted that somebody could do that. I said, exactly. And I told her that kids who get molested or get kidnapped or those things happen by people that they know.
Yeah.
90% of the time, people that they know. It's rarely a stranger. And she goes, wow, you know, because they also, not that you want to scare them and cause them to distrust people, but you need to create a very realistic picture of the world we live in.
Right.
This is not something new, you know. Incest and sexual abuse and molestation and rape has been going on since the beginning of time. So then I thought that was appropriate. At a later stage, I think 4 years later, or no, 3 years later, she wanted to sleep over her friend's house and blah, blah, blah. And I said no. And then she goes, but Mommy, why? You know, because she knows she's a good kid. She has a good head over her shoulders. She's very well adjusted. She's smart. She can take care of herself. I've taken the rad course to the police department. By the way, another thing, I encourage single ladies to go to your local police station and take the self-defense class. You need to do that. Anyway, back to Elizabeth. So I told her that I was raped when she was about 13, 14. And she goes, oh, my gosh. And, you know, but also in the way that you deliver that huge message, it has to come from a place of strength and victory, not a place of, you know, a victim, because they need to know that, yes, it happened. This is why my mom doesn't want me to go off in all these different places, but look at how strong she is and how she survived. Or even, and we think that this only happens to women, but it happens to men too. So
it could be
a single dad who doesn't want his daughter to go somewhere because maybe he was abused. So, and another thing is also getting to know the family. If you know the people that your child wants to be friends with or has to have this play date with, and you really pray and feel like you have a peace about it, then you have to get out of their way to let them live their life.
That is fantastic. That is absolutely I love how you're sharing from the heart. How do you balance? I mean, you are a community person. You are active in what's going on in your neighborhood. You're raising Elizabeth. You have a big extended family. You're active at church. You're a professional woman. You're very outspoken, which I love, you know, about the things that we see happening in this nation, Trayvon Martin, injustice. I mean, how do you balance all these things and then also still have time for you?
that's one of the joys of being single.
Don't let him hear you say that.
You set that up so well, and I'm going to read this from the message. 1 Corinthians 7, 34 to 35 says, I want you to live as free of complications as possible. When you're unmarried, you're free to concentrate on simply pleasing the master. Marriage involves you in all the nuts and bolts of domestic life and in wanting to please your spouse, leading to so many more demands on your attention. The time and the energy that married people spend on caring for and nurturing each other, the unmarried can spend in becoming whole and holy instruments of God. And then he goes on to say, I'm trying to be helpful and to make it as easy as possible for you, not to make things harder All I want is for you to be able to develop a way of life in which you can spend plenty of time together with the Master without a lot of distractions. He was writing to the singles, and he's not saying, you know, the married people don't spend time with God. Of course they do. But as a single woman, when I wake up in the morning, I don't want to make my bed. Guess what? I don't make it. Nobody's going to see it. Yes, there's so many parts of being single. And then when you're in a hurry, everything doesn't have to be just so, because if you're a new child, okay, honey, let's go to school. You drive her off and you can come back later to an unmade bed and undone dishes. And I think that frees me up to do and delve into all these community things and, you know, be civically engaged and be an advocate and teach Sunday school and speak at schools and do it because I'm single. I bet if I had a husband, I would be doing with his dirty socks and all that. So when I look at single women in church wanting to be married... I know. You know, when my brother comes to visit from Sweden, he only stays with me for 2 days. And he goes, sister, I love you, but I'm moving on to Ifrance's house, my sister who has a five-bedroom home. So he goes over to stay with her and her husband because he can just let loose in my little apartment. I mean, everything has to be... I'm a clean and neat freak, so he can't be here. And so one day he said to me, you know what? I've realized one of the reasons you're still single is because no man can live like this. I said, what do you mean? He goes, no, I know he was kidding. He goes, you're so clean. I'm like, you know what? I am praying that God sends me somebody who's just as clean. And, you know, that's just the ongoing joke. But but back to singles and looking and wanting to be married. Yes, it's wonderful, but you have to also make sure that it's what you really want, because when I look at you and all the amazing couples that I know, it's work.
It's work. Oh, it is work.
Yeah. And if you're not willing to do the work, you better not be wishing to get into the work, because then what's going to happen? You know, he's not going to ride on a white horse every evening and swoop you off and ride off into the sunset. No, it's work. So, I mean, I had that dream once, but I've grown up since.
You've grown up since.
So I guess to answer your question, I can do all those things because I'm single.
Oh, my goodness. I have to be... About 2 years ago, we did, you know how we come and do that Valentine Gala in Boston. And Boston,
yes.
You know, we loved doing Valentine's Day. I mean, because people are excitable and they're all dressed up. But Charlene, this Valentine we did, we could not believe we were in New England. The turn-up was great, yes. But the singles were so depressed for the first time. They were not dressed up. You know, normally they love dressing up. Literally, three-quarters of the singles came in like just had not done their hair, had not done their nails, didn't wear ball gowns. So we're like, girls, what's happening? And they're like, we come year after year and you pray for us. Nothing has happened. I mean, they were so depressed, they didn't even want to play games. You know, one of the highlights of the Valentine Galas, we do different games, didn't want to do it. I mean, and there's nothing we could do or say. Honestly, that was really one of the most challenging Valentines we've ever had. And, you know, it got me so concerned to say, my goodness, I mean, okay, yes, you may want to get married, but to the point of where you don't even take care of yourself anymore.
Oh, no. That's one of my other tips. You have to be good to yourself.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to be good to yourself, because if you are, then you'll know when somebody is not good to you. If somebody comes into your life like, oh, wait a minute, I am better to myself than he is. So another thing, that goes back to singles clubs. That's why I don't like singles clubs, because I've been in a couple in different churches. And, there's one time I was in a singles club, I won't mention where, and they had a Valentine's Day for the single ladies, and we're going to be each other's Valentine's. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, but I am not going to be a Valentine. If I want a lady Valentine, I really drove right back home, and I have no shame in doing that. And I went to CVS. I got my daughter, a card and some candy, and she was my Valentine. I think we watched some silly movies and telly that evening, but and there's nothing wrong with having a party and celebrating your singleness, but if people are moping around, especially in church where we have a hope and we are the light of the world and we are standing on His promises, I mean, that just shows me that you really don't believe what you believe or what you're saying.
Exactly.
Because if you know that He has a great plan for you, you know, you wouldn't be moping around. And then if you want a guy to notice you, you better do your hair. You better do your nails. You better look good.
But I love what you say, Charlene, about be good to you. You know, in other words, be good to yourself. Talk a little. So how are the ways, like, you are good to you? How are you good to Charlene? Let's break it down. We want to be real practical.
Okay, real practical. I used to do my nails in a nail salon until somebody got hepatitis on Newbury Street, and I stopped going. But since nail salons have revolved. They sterilize their stuff in dentistry-looking machines, and they're clean, but I still don't trust them. So good to myself, I do my own nails. I do a fabulous job. Everybody asks, where did you go? I'm like, I just did it myself. But I go to the hair salon, and I do my hair. I always do my hair, so I look good. I buy nice perfume, and not so much what's trending. Oh, everybody's wearing flower bomb. I have to get flower bomb. No, I find a scent that speaks to my senses, speaks to me, that makes me feel like a gorgeous woman, and I buy that. So, a little tip, ladies, check out Cartier. It's a great perfume. But anyway, so I buy that, and then I read. I love to read. I spend time by myself and read. I enjoy, I know it's kind of selfish, but I enjoy my own company.
That's very healthy.
And in those quiet moments when I'll set off maybe even reading a book, I'm like, okay, enough of this book, and I'll pick up my T.D. Jakes Bible. Ladies, you need to get The Woman Thou Art Loose, T.D. Jakes Bible, because he has little stories in there and little gospel parables that speak to pretty much every situation that any woman could ever face, and I'm not even kidding. It's that extensive. And so I'll sit down, and I'll read something like this, and I'm going to share it with you. It's a page called Soul Secrets of a Single Woman. And T.D. Jakes writes, as though the lady is writing, Lord, it seems I've been through it all, desperation for a man, contentment in you, wondering if I'll ever get married, and being a bridesmaid more times than I can count. I know what it is for a dream to be delayed, but I trust your perfect timing for my life. What I want is your very best. I submit to you and to the work of your hand in my life. I rejoice that in my singleness, you are my only love. You are the one I share my secrets with, the one who knows me better than I know myself. All my tender touches come from you. And that is an amazing blessing. My whole heart is yours, and you have sanctified me for this season. Lord, you're the greatest lover of all, and I belong to you. So I'll read things like that are just uplifting. And just, I don't have a lot of money because, you know, I'm a single mom. My budget is tight. I find simple things that I enjoy to do. And there's so many things that people think you have to attach a value to something or a monetary value for something to be good. You can be good to yourself in just simply doing your nails, reading Woman Thou Art Loose, gospel parables from T.D. Jakes' Bible, going to the park, going to a museum. I know every Van Gogh and Rembrandt and, oh my gosh, all those Picasso's. I mean, some of the paintings, I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks like so-and-so. Oh my gosh, it's not so-and-so. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm spending too much time at the museum. And then meet people and just have fun. So being good to yourself doesn't have to cost anything. You just have to find the things that you like to do and you enjoy to do and serve. Go find out what they need in church and serve, you know. I've been a kids minister for, oh my gosh, altogether, mate, 15 years. And I just love ministering to kids. They're so cute and they're so, the way they just soak up the word and just hang on to every word that you say. I mean, I'm being good to myself by approaching his kingdom like a child because they're just so trusting. And then by being around them, if my hope is waning because nothing's perfect, sometimes I'm like, really, Lord, I feel like a fool because maybe I feel like a laughingstock because you promised X, Y, Z, and look, you could, you know, go down the list. But if you spend time with those children, your trust is, your hope is renewed, and you approach him like they approach him, and that's another way of being good to yourself. Serve somebody else. If it's not kids' church, find a cute little old lady in your neighborhood and buy them groceries, you know. I know three cute little old ladies where I live. I know all my neighbors, and just simple things. So you have, I can only speak for myself, but you have to find those things and make sure you're good to yourself because nobody else is going to be good to you. I mean, not that they won't be, but you have to be good to yourself first for others to be good to you. Does that make any sense?
It sure does. It sure does. We want to open it up to our Solutions family. Oh, my goodness. You have really shared from the heart, Charlene, and we appreciate it so very much. Oh, I'm sorry. I tell you, this family of seven, too much drama tonight. But
you are graced to do it.
Please promise me that you take two at least, then we'll have three, Charlene.
Three, okay, I will.
But in case you've just tuned in, this is Pastor Mwaka from Dallas, Texas with Solutions here on Zambia Blog Talk Radio. And we are talking to the lovely Miss Charlene Nabulime from Boston, Massachusetts. And she's giving tips for the singles during this Valentine's season. And we want to open it up to you if you have questions for our lovely counselor. Lovely Miss Charlene, please ask away. This is a dialogue. We want to hear from you. Miss Shiko, do we have any questions? Any callers?
Yes. Yes, we do have a caller. Area code 484. Your last four digits are 8443. You're welcome. Code 484, your last four digits are 8443.
As we are waiting, Ms. Shiko, do we have any questions on Facebook? Anybody text you? In our remaining 10 minutes, caller 484, all you need to do is press 1.
I don't have any questions on Facebook, but I do have a question for Charlene. How old is your daughter now?
She's 17.
Oh, wow. So how is it being a mother of a teen? Because you've given us like a synopsis of her growing up, and now she's a teen.
As a teenager, I have no complaints. She's into everything that teenagers do. You know, she has makeup, and that's a big one for me because in our culture, you don't even wear makeup. You're lucky if you have lip gloss, you know. So we have makeup, and we have stylish shoes, and she's wearing heels. But the Bible says that bring them up in the way that they should go, so when they grow up, they don't depart from those ways. I'm so glad that I took the time to deposit the word of God inside her heart. And our motto has always been, others may, and we may not. So I'm very proud of my teenager. I have no issues, no complaints. She loves God with all her heart. The first thing she does is read her Bible and pray every morning, and just living her life and being an example to others who may not know God.
Wow, okay, awesome. That's great. We do have a different caller. And
oh, it was a last caller, sorry.
Yes, we have area code 214, last four digits 6145. You're welcome.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Hello, prophetess. This
Good
is
evening,
Nicole.
Lady Nicole.
I have been enjoying the program, and I just wanted to say that I agree with treating yourself, and it doesn't, you know, you do have to make it happen for yourself. You do have to make your oasis in the middle of the desert, you know. And you don't have to have a lot of money. There are many different ways. I believe if you spend time with yourself, you really get to know what it is that you really like. If you just take time out for you. You know, you can't expect someone to come into your life to make you happy. You are supposed to be whole and happy by yourself. And I think a lot of times people jump from relationships to relationships or try to put that responsibility on an individual and not on themselves. And really, if you spend time with you, you will get to know what really makes you tick and what makes you happy, what brings you joy. Because it is just like you said, going to the museum, doing your nails, whether you go to the spa and get it done, whether you do it at the house. But you can look at yourself and say, wow, I did something for me. I spent 30 minutes on me. I spent an hour on me, on taking care of me, which in turn sets an example for your son or your daughter. And they see that you don't run yourself ragged, but you do think that you also are very special and want to spend some time on you, you know, just taking a moment and you know, set candles in your house and listen to some nice music. It's nothing horrible about that. It's you entertaining you and enjoying you, you know?
Exactly.
You can't wait for somebody to come riding on a horse and do these things to you, especially if you've never even spent time with it to see if you like it or not. You know,
exactly.
You first need
You're
to do
so
it
right.
for yourself. If you really long for flowers and desire flowers, before I got married, I would buy myself flowers at least once a week or once.
Wow.
A week. Because you know what? I love flowers. I love blessing people with flowers, and I'm one of the people I blessed also. You know, I see the joy it gives. But I love flowers, and I work hard. I was a single mom for 10 years plus. I work hard every day, paying the bills, taking care of my son and ministry. And, you know, when you're single and you're in the ministry, you're on the go quite a bit, and your child is a ministry child. But I took time to do something for me that I like. That's all Nicole. And that would be, yes, I love gladiolas, I love roses, I made a beautiful bouquet, a beautiful arrangement, and I will put it in my home so I can enjoy it every day, or I'll take it to work with me because I deserve it, you know, and God made it possible for me to have. So you do things like that, so, you know, you start welcoming these things into your aura, you start welcoming these things into your circle, and, you know, you don't have to wait and wait. I've never gotten flowers before. Get yourself some flowers, you know?
That is so funny. I used to buy myself flowers and, you know, all different kinds, and I'll make these arrangements. And my daughter would say, Mommy, you're so cute that you buy flowers. And so sometimes I would tell her they were for her, but they were really for me. And she would think, oh, thank you so much, Mommy. But when they start to get spoiled, the water starts to smell a little bit. And neither one of us wanted to pour out the the water. So like, ew. So, and then that kind of, you know, dwindled off. So, I stopped buying flowers. But, yes, it's a very good way of being good to yourself, flowers.
Mm-hmm. It is. And a tip for your flowers so your water would not smell. If you get your flowers and pour just a capful of Clorox in the water, that would not make the water smell. And it would not kill your flowers.
Thank you.
Wow.
Just doing something for you. And buy a nice top. Buy some. Do something for you. Don't. And, you know, I love this season, too, because also we have the opportunity to bless so many who are not thought of. And if
right.
you're with someone else, you would have no time to hold a pity party or anything, because this
exactly.
is just a season. It's not the rest of your life. It's not, you know, this is just a grace of singleness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the gift. It's the grace. That's what I like to call it. And the grace
mm-hmm.
will be lifted because your bow is right there. And, you know, and the same thing for the male. So when we're busy trying to think of how we can make someone's day and you know, it occupies it and you move forward.
Oh, I love that, Lady Nicole.
I love
that,
too.
So true. You know, and not only even in just Valentine, I think life in general, you know, when you
yes.
when you think about others, then you're not so consumed with yourself.
Yeah.
That's what makes life fulfilling. Just, you know, go above and beyond yourself and just help somebody, encourage somebody, bless somebody, talk to somebody. So
yeah.
thank you so much for your contribution, Lady Nicole.
And I love what Martin Luther King said about greatness. You know, he says everyone has the power for greatness. Not for fame, but greatness, because greatness is determined by service. And I forgot to say that I always imparted this, because the spirit of service sometimes is taught and other times it's caught. So I was like, I'm not gonna wait for her to catch it. She's gonna learn it. So she has been a missionary ever since she was 8. But on top of that, we've always served at soup kitchens, done sidewalk Sunday school for kids in impoverished neighborhoods. She was my little sidekick. And she's learned the value of service. So when she sees me, strong and content and happy being single, it's not about just one thing. It's a combination of all of so many things, which includes service. Because like you said, If we're busy serving somebody else, we won't have time for a pity party, and singles forget to serve. So that's a big one.
Wow, that is a huge, huge lesson. Charlene, do you know how our it's not so much in the American community, but our African
mm-hmm.
community, I'm sure they look at you, you're still young, in your 30s, do you still get asked a lot, are you ever going to remarry? When is the wedding kind of thing? And that pressure.
One time I said, I was kind of, you know, remember that show Just Shoot Me? I don't know if you remember, you probably never saw it, but there was a show on television called Just Shoot Me. And I once made a joke saying, if somebody asks me if I'm ever going to get married again, I'm just going to audition for that show, Just Shoot Me. And my daughter goes, Mommy, and she, no, I know, I thought it was cute and funny too. She goes, Mommy, words are powerful. Take that back. And I cancel that in Jesus' name. Nobody's going to shoot you, but you can always tell them you're not ready. So I'm like, gee, I mean, I can't even joke. So anyway, so when they ask me, I just say, oh, I'm so busy. I'm just raising my daughter. And so we don't get into any back and forth about why and you're getting married. Because even those questions, even from many well wishers, paint pictures. So you might come home and 5 or 10 people have asked you in the Ugandan community, why aren't you married? Oh, and then I went to Emerson College. So somebody once asked me, are you gay? I said, no, honey, I love men. I just haven't found the right one. So the question comes up, and So, oh my gosh, it's, but you know what? I put a smile on my face, and it's the confidence that I have in Christ and who I am in Christ that sometimes now they're even afraid to ask me that question. They're like, okay, let's just ask Charlene, what are you doing next? Who are you campaigning for? And now I'm getting more campaign questions because I'm trying to get everybody civically engaged other than single questions. So I think that's a good thing. We've made strides in that regard.
So you've shifted their focus.
Yes, yes, I did. And I know they mean well. And I know they mean well. I mean, because, yeah, I'm young and I love God. I'm beautiful. I'm smart. I mean, what, you know, what's wrong with her? And then when people start asking what's wrong with you, don't ever start thinking, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with being single. But I think in the Christian community, because, you know, marriage is elevated, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, but it's always elevated more than anything else.
Right.
Married couples are always prayed for first. Married couples are always asked to serve. Married couples are asked to do things, and singles are kind of not ignored, but you're single. People don't want to be your friend, and it's really almost without anything said, it puts singles in this class that's almost like secondary, and that's not God. Nobody,
exactly.
We're all the same in His kingdom, and if we just start looking at ourselves like He looks at us, then we won't even think single. We think, oh my gosh, what am I doing, and does it have eternity attached to it?
Wow. Oh my goodness. This has been a very powerful, powerful, enriching hour. Charlene, we appreciate you. I know the singles are so very encouraged. I don't know if we have any other caller, Ms. Shiko, or any other question, because our hour is up.
No, we don't have any other caller.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much. It's been an honor, a privilege, and oh my gosh, there was so much to say. I didn't prepare. I just tried to speak from my heart, and I hope that, you know, I touched someone.
you really did. You covered everything. And one of the things we really encourage on this show is to be transparent and real, and that you were from beginning to end. And so we appreciate you so very much. We are definitely going to have you back. You are now officially part of the Solutions family.
Thank you.
We appreciate your pouring into us and just your wisdom and practical tips. I know, and not just the singles. I mean, I've learned a lot, because even married women, you know, you can get so lost in being the wife of so-and-so and the mother of so-and-so, as much as I love it. But I love what both you and Lady Nicole talked about, you know, being good to you, you know.
Yes.
So it's such a blessing to me, too. So thank you, my darling.
Amen.
So we love you, love you, love you.
Love you more.
Yes, love. By the way, listeners, her daughter Elizabeth, that was the very first baby we dedicated in All Nations Boston. So this is how far back we go. They're a very special family to us. I'm so glad that we're still connected. Oh, thank you so much. I know right now it's midnight in Boston, so we're going to let you get your beauty sleep.
Oh, sure.
So that tomorrow you can continue to meet all your VIPs and dignitaries and do all your civic duties, Ms. Mayor, Senator.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you. And I'll speak to you soon. Love you, and give my love to Pastor as well. And the children.
I will. Thank you, sweetie. God bless you. Thank you,
Pastor. God bless you. And thank you, listeners.
God bless you.
Bye.